With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yeah, yeah, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. The Rockets traded Russell Westbrook. You may just be waking up to this news if you're a radio host or hosts who put topics together and rundowns together and you like to relax a little bit at like 7:30 at night and go, ah, the show for tomorrow is all set. And then Russell Westbrook gets traded at like 8:30, and you just take your laptop and you throw it against the wall, and you go, got a redo here, but yeah. Russell Westbrook traded last. I say all that to say it may have happened while you guys were sleeping. Russell Westbrook.
It happened, I don't know. Woj tweeted it at 6:55 p.m.
Oh, did he? Okay. Well,
so it wasn't that late.
All right. Yeah. Well,
you might have been otherwise occupied or something.
I was in the middle of a bottle of wine at that point. That probably didn't help. Yeah, I'm like, oh.
So when you came across the news.
Or I just didn't feel like working anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I just.
You know, there was a time not too long ago where if this would have happened at 6:55 p.m., then none of us would have known about it until like 7, 8, 9 a.m. the next day.
That's right.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe, no, actually it would have hit the evening news, I suppose.
Maybe.
But most people wouldn't know until it hit the paper in the morning.
Not all that long ago, yeah, absolutely. God,
I miss being able to rest every night.
That's my point. So just to lay out the trade for those of you who haven't heard the details, Russell Westbrook is going to the Washington Wizards. Coming to the Rockets is John Wall, the first overall pick back in 2010, multiple-time All-Star, has not played in 2 years because he's been dealing with an Achilles injury. He had an Achilles tear. So who knows how healthy John Wall is? Who knows how this is going to work with James Harden? It is yet another former multi-time All-Star who is coming to the Houston Rockets, clearly on the back nine of their career, if not walking down the 18th fairway. Dwight Howard. Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, I left out before, Joe Johnson, Boogie Cousins. Well, I'm just saying, guys who have multiple All-Star appearances on their resume, who have come here way too late, unfortunately.
Except that Carmelo was just an experiment. Like, that was never the plan on Carmelo, and it was a $2 million contract. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I just think it's amazing some of the big names that have come through the door here over the last six, seven years. Boogie Cousins, John Wall, Russell Westbrook, the others, yeah.
Now, the reason I make the distinction with Carmelo Anthony would be that because you weren't depending on him, it never really bothered me at all that they tried that experiment because they got rid of it quickly.
Yeah.
Because they cut ties when they could. The thing that has me currently feeling uncomfortable about the Rockets are twofold. One, obviously, the fact that James Harden is not in training camp and reportedly wants to get traded, that we haven't heard from him, all of that makes you nervous. But like, let's play for a moment and say, no, they're just going to do that same old thing where they bring in another guard and everybody says, well, what are you going to do with two ball-dominant guys on your team that love to have the ball in your hands? I don't even like having that discussion anymore. We've already seen that they can figure out ways to make it work. My biggest question for the Rockets right now is that you have now definitely 100%, more so than with Russell Westbrook, more so than with Chris Paul, you have entered the world of ifs. Just like with the Texans this offseason, where your plan for optimism revolved around a bunch of unlikely ifs coming to fruition. With the Texans, people who were trying like hell to be optimistic would say, well, hey, if David Johnson plays like he did in 2016, and if Randall Cobb is more like he was in Green Bay, and if Brandon Cooks returns to his home, there was a whole, if Will Fuller stays healthy or doesn't get pinched for drugs, then there's just too many ifs. It doesn't work out. It never works out when you've got that many ifs. Right now, the two huge ifs, even leaving James Harden, which is an if out of it, are that John Wall is coming off an Achilles tendon tear. He hasn't played in 2 years. He's only 29 years old. I'm relatively optimistic that he'll be all right. But for the life of me, I could not figure out the excitement behind DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins, a big man, in his 30s who had an Achilles tendon tear before he went to Golden State, and then he had another major injury again after a half season with Golden State. I just don't get it. I love it. Maybe, and I'd love to be proven wrong, but those are two huge ifs. Achilles tendon tears in basketball are not the same as Achilles tendon tears in football. It's a lot harder to come back from and be close to your best version of yourself.
He's had multiple leg injuries. It's not just the Achilles. He's blown a quad. He's had knee issues. He's had things like that. I guess my counterpoint to what you just said, Seth, is that it is a little more like the Carmelo deal in that it's not a huge financial commitment by the Rockets.
Right.
I mean, it's a proven deal.
But I sensed like when they signed Carmelo, most Rockets fans understood it. I don't think anybody really got excited about Carmelo, did they? Maybe a few people or Carmelo fans or whatnot.
I had been pounding the table for them to bring in Carmelo. I'm being serious here. Like, I really wanted them to go get Carmelo Anthony that offseason because that was coming off the 65-win season where once Chris Paul went out with that hamstring injury, they had nobody else to go get a bucket. There's a reason they missed 27 straight three-pointers in that game. I don't want to go too far down to Carmelo Anthony. Your point is a valid one, which is, you know, Melo was on his last legs at that point, clearly.
I would say the difference with DeMarcus Cousins is that when he has been on the court, including before his Achilles tendon, that you're in New Orleans, he was playing great.
Yeah.
So I guess he had been a productive player more recently than Carmelo Anthony, or more like up to a peak version of himself.
Yeah.
I'm just now I was surprised. I hate this thing in basketball where people get so excited about names. You know, we saw it with the Nets when they traded for everybody from the Celtics. We saw it with the Lakers when they got Steve Nash. Wow. Imagine if it were just 10 years earlier. So there's nothing about like the current version of the Rockets, especially with the James Harden situation, where I feel all that great going into the season. I'm being as pessimistic as I ever have about the Rockets, and I don't like that. I feel like usually I'm more optimistic than most people about them, but I don't feel good right this moment.
Cousins is coming off of an ACL. So he had signed a 1-year deal with the Lakers last year. He suffered a torn ACL in a preseason workout on August 15th. And the Lakers waived him on February 23rd of this year. So about 2 weeks before we got into Pandemicville, he was gone from the Lakers. He was waived. I wonder if he got a playoff share. I wonder if he got a... Did Boogie Cousins get a ring? Is he technically an NBA champion? He was waived by the Lakers on February 23rd. And not signed.
Yeah, usually I know in football, I think if you're on the active roster at any point during that season, you get a ring.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know what they do is I think some teams will give you the option of buying the ring.
Yeah. Well, Seth, maybe that's why they brought him in. Championship pedigree.
Championship DNA.
DNA. He's got the chance. Yeah. He didn't have it before, but now they injected some championship DNA, and now he's got championship DNA. So here, the deal again, Russell Westbrook for John Wall, and the Rockets also in the process get a protected 2023 first-round pick, which I feel is more... That's one of those things that makes the trade look better on paper and in a headline than it really is. Because these protections on the pick, if we're to assume that the Washington Wizards are going to continue to be a bad basketball team, then the Rockets may never see a first round pick out of this because it's protected. It's by and large protected. It's lottery protected for 2023, by the way. So Russell Westbrook may be long gone from, and probably will be. He might be retired by 2023. And so it's got all sorts of protections on it to where if it's a really high pick, the Rockets ain't never seen this thing. So in 2026, the thing will automatically convert to a second round pick in 2026 and 2027. So there's a chance that this thing turns into nothing but a couple second round picks for the Rockets down the road.
And that's where I think the Rockets, I will say to balance out my trepidation about the Rockets, I will say I think they're doing a pretty good job of straddling this fine line of let's have a roster that's potentially enticing to James Harden. You know, let's have some version of maybe, hey, Harden working with Cousins. We might get the absolute best version of Cousins because Cousins hasn't necessarily worked with a guy quite like James Harden before. Maybe if we get that same piggyback effect with John Wall, then maybe this will be enticing to Harden. But if we end up having to trade Harden away, or we do trade him away, we also have a viable, we've got a viable franchise now here and a viable roster. Well, we also start to stockpile picks for the future. It's almost like a three-way option of maybe Harden stays and we can compete. Maybe Harden's gone and maybe we try to compete, but also let's start adding up some of these protected first-rounders, at least, that we could turn into something else somewhere along the way.
I think Stephen Silas, as a head coaching hire, is kind of indicative of that, is he not? He's a young guy with a lot of potential as a head coach, but he's viewed as a guy who's got enough experience. He's only 47, 48 years old, but he's been around basketball since he was a kid because his dad was a coach in the league and a player in the league, and he's viewed as a very, very bright young coaching mind who I think a lot of teams would say, boy, we got a young core. This is a coach who can grow with us, but at the same time, he seems to be a guy who has the respect of older players, too, to where he can bring some ideas to this group. What's so funny?
Sorry, Sean. I'm just looking at the Rockets depth chart. DeMarcus Cousins listed as day-to-day.
Well, we're all day-to-day.
I know. I just...
Why are you being so mean to Boogie Cousins, man?
I'm not being mean to him.
Why are you laughing at him?
I feel like it's indicative of just the situation that you have there.
Okay, well, I will see your day-to-day on the depth chart, and I will raise you... I will raise you a headline on rocketswire.usa.com that is telling me that new Rocket center DeMarcus Cousins reportedly, quote, looks terrific.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like I said, when he's been healthy, then there's a lot to get excited about. I mean, Cousins has shown this. Cousins is very sensitive in a good way to coaching, I think. That when he gets the coach that can speak to him the right way and coach him the right way and they're on the same page, he responds to it. When it's not, it doesn't look so hot. So I think there's kind of good DeMarcus and bad DeMarcus, and if you just get him the right way, there's a whole lot of potential there. The biggest concern, so I honestly don't care if you don't like his attitude or whatever like that. Like, that stuff doesn't bother me. The biggest thing that concerns me is he's a big man who's 30 years old, I believe, who's had multiple major injuries. Yeah. In the NBA, that just does not work well generally. Now, look, Dwight Howard kind of proved a lot of people wrong and didn't just fix his personality somewhat, but also his body long after people thought that it should have degraded further than it did. So I'm open to being surprised. I'm just kind of pessimistic about it right now.
We left Christian Wood's name out of this conversation. I think Christian Wood's a big X factor in all this. The kid that they signed and traded from the Pistons, who's had one really good year in the league, but he's gradually ascended to this point. His skill set is one. You all of a sudden go from a team with a 6'5" center last year to two big guys who can put the ball in the basket. It's going to look different. Yeah. I hope it's enough to convince Harden to want to stay here for at least another year, because I think his team could be fun to watch if these guys are all healthy. All right, the Will Fuller PED discount, something we've talked about a lot the last 48 hours. Is it a myth? We'll discuss next. Deshaun Watson met with the media yesterday and gave a very candid answer, I think, about how he feels about Will Fuller moving forward. Is it hard to move on this season without Will Fuller?
No, we don't have no choice but to move on. Man, all the stuff we done dealt with, you know, through this organization over the years, I mean, you just got to keep pushing, keep moving forward. You know, Will knows that we all love him. He always do the right thing, and that one slip up just got popped. But, you know, hey, we always going to have his back. You know, Will's my brother. The whole organization knows that too. And, you know, make sure that we get him back for next year. Especially in this organization, but that's a whole other story and topic. But yeah, we got to move on. We got a quick 5 weeks that's going to hit us this month, and you know, it's a big game. So we got to make sure that we're focused and locked on those opponents.
And since you touched on it, how important is it to you if they can make it work to get him back here next year?
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah, I mean, that's very important. So definitely one guy that I'm gonna be working on this last month and off season for sure.
All right, there we go, recruiter Deshaun going into effect. It's interesting, Seth, because we've talked about Will Fuller over the last day or two as a guy who is going to be a depressed asset going into the offseason. Like, oh look, he finished the season with a suspension. He's never other than his rookie year, he's never played more than 11 games in the league for a variety of reasons. Is it the PEDs that kept him healthy throughout the year? So many questions swirling around Will Fuller. And yet, not only is Deshaun saying, no, I'm going to be working on him to get him back here next year, but I'm looking at some of these free agency lists. Pro Football Focus, one of them, lists the top 50 free agents. And this is a list that came out after the Fuller suspension. They've got him ninth on the list of free agents.
I think, you know what, read that. I think I saw that yesterday, and I was chuckled because I think the synopsis is still definitely before his suspension.
So I
don't know if they factored that into it, but.
Yeah, I know they mentioned the suspension, and I'm pulling it up here right now, so bear with me for a second. He's ninth on the list. Here's what it says about Fuller. Fuller has the all-important speed you can't teach, which will always elevate him beyond where his production would otherwise rank him. Clear, even when the Texans had Hopkins as their number one receiver, Fuller made a material difference in the offense just by being out there. Defenses needed to respect the deep threat every single snap. He's never topped 1,000 yards receiving in his career. He's missed a lot of time with injuries throughout his career. He will still be in his mid-20s when free agency rolls around. For a player who struggled badly with drops in college, Fuller has kept those under control, just 18 in his career. It goes on to say in the next paragraph, contract analysis. Houston seemingly put itself in a precarious position by not trading Fuller to the Packers at the deadline. Fuller was having a career year, seemed destined to command top dollar in a crowded free agent class, but a six-game suspension for PEDs cut his 2020 season short. In a situation like this, the range for the next contract is very wide. I agree with that. And so they go on to predict, for all these 50 free agents, they predict not only where they're going to sign, but what the contract's going to look like. They predict that Fuller does wind up going to the Packers, ironically, for 5 years, $87.5 million, with a $25 million signing bonus.
That's a little rich for our blood, I think, given our soft reset year that we're probably going to have next year.
$17.5 million a year.
And Sean, you've pointed out that all it takes is one. It'd be interesting because the Packers have only recently been turned on to the whole concept of free agency. They, for years and years and years, refused to utilize free agency, but they've changed somewhat. So I'd be surprised if it was the Packers still, because the Packers have warmed up to free agency, but I don't know if they've warmed up to the degree that they're going to be paying huge money on a guy coming off a PED suspension who also has injury histories. It doesn't seem like a Packers type of move. But no. But all it takes is one team to give a contract like that, and I think that's too rich for the Texans.
Yeah, I do too, and I think the more removed we get from just whatever emotions we were feeling over the last 24 hours about Fuller getting suspended, you get further and further away from it, and there's going to be teams that realize, like, okay, he's probably still the same guy that was playing. Yeah. Like, he wasn't – you brought this up yesterday. It's not just that he stayed healthy, but he's been more productive this year. You know, his yards per catch longer. You know, his touchdowns, ability to get into the end zone, which was already pretty good with Deshaun Watson as his quarterback, elite this year. He was on pace for about 12 or 13 touchdowns this year. So it's not just that he's been on the field. He's been a great receiver this year. He's catching the ball all different areas of the field and things like that. And my guess is there's going to be NFL teams that are going to look past it and go, okay, but I don't feel like the PEDs are the reason why the guy was a really good receiver this year.
You know, and to further augment your argument, I know a guy. I gotta be careful. I don't want to be too careful to do the 20 questions with this guy. But he works in an NFL front office. He's never been with the Jaguars or the Texans, but he's been in the NFL for 40 years or so.
Okay.
As a player and as a personnel guy. I talked about him yesterday a little bit. But I've had a couple of conversations with him where it's really funny. Look, this guy played in the 70s and 80s. He did the drugs. He did the stuff. Yeah. Did all the stuff that a lot of guys did before.
Candy store,
Before there was any, like all the North Dallas 40 type stuff. And he said when he talks to a lot of scouts, he's just kind of baffled sometimes because he'll be like, look, no, this guy's obviously on something. We can't look at this production he's had the last 2 years and think that he's worth that because I don't think he's going to get away with it. Or, and this is the big thing, the guys, it makes you more injury prone, you know, depending on, I know there's going to be a bunch of roid dudes now that are going to text and say like, no, it protects you from injury. abuse makes you more injury prone. It actually like weakens your tendons and ligaments. And guys, like back in the 80s, guys used to get torn Achilles and biceps on the reg. Like every year you'd get like 5 to 10 torn Achilles or bicep tendons on the team.
Yeah.
So this guy is like very mindful of it, but his complaint is that all the other guys around him don't take it into account at all. So there will be people that will say, like, wow, Fuller had a really good year. Huh, it's too bad about that PED thing. Let's just assume they're completely unrelated and just sign him, like, all of that production. Him bulldozing people, him looking like he was actually a lot bigger, had nothing to do with the PEDs, and it was just bad luck.
That's a fair counterpoint. It was funny yesterday, Seth. I found myself on the Texans website just – looking at some of the press conference videos from yesterday is why I was on there. And I ended up clicking as I am wont to do when it comes across my timeline, when John Harris does a Telestrator session, when he does the sort of the chalk talk of a big play in the previous game, I always watch it because Johnny does a great job with those. And I always learn something from watching those. Well, it just so happens that the Telestrator for this week, which I'm guessing was put together before Will Fuller's suspension was announced, was Fuller's touchdown in the Detroit game, not the flea flicker, but the first one, where he had man coverage against the cornerback for the Lions, who Fuller just spent the day abusing. He had, you know, press man coverage on him, and Johnny's breaking down the blocking scheme and what Max Sharping did to keep Deshaun clean so Deshaun could throw it down the field. The very end of the play, Johnny's pointing out how Fuller is even with the cornerback as the ball is leaving Deshaun's hand. And then Fuller just puts on the jets, and it looks like the corner is in quicksand. And Johnny's going, man, just look at Fuller. And I'm going, boy, I'm really glad this isn't on Twitter, because the replies on Wednesday and Thursday of this week would have been, no wonder he was able to put that guy into the rear view so quick. I'm watching this, and I'm going, oh, man, just how ironically timed.
I wonder if, I mean, generally the way it's gone over the past 20 years or so is that guys will figure out some way around the system, and that at some point over the next 2 or 3 years, the testing officials catch up to it.
Yeah.
You know, it was whatever the stuff they were using with the clear and the cream with Belco.
Yep.
You know, it took a little while, but the league caught up to it. And then HGH guys were using, and then the league caught up to it. So I don't know, whatever supplement it was, if it was effective, because a lot of stuff is, look, a lot of it is snake oil, you know, and like the deer antler velvet stuff or whatever that the Ravens were using. There's an argument that that could be effective if injected and whatnot, but not the way those guys were using it. So those guys are using something illegal that actually doesn't benefit you at all. Like, that's the dumb stuff.
Yeah.
If for his financial well-being, I would hope that whatever Fuller was using was something like that. Like something that, look, if anything, maybe it was a placebo effect, but it didn't actually help you that much. So that's what he should hope, because teams will look at that and say, all right, well, he was performing well. This snake oil wasn't helping him. Now, if it's something more advanced, that's a whole different story.
Yep, that question will get asked for sure, no doubt about that. Download the Radio.com app. Use that rewind feature. A lot of you are using that these days. We'd love when you hit us up on the text page. Tell us that you're using that Radio.com app, whether you're in Houston or anywhere. This is a lot of our transplanted Houstonians who've moved somewhere else to continue to listen to the station. We love that. Download the Radio.com app. All right, speaking of the wide receiver position, Texans do have a game on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. How do they cobble together a wide receiving core? Romeo Crennel, Deshaun Watson, you'll hear from them on that next.
For the passing game, we're just going to continue to do what we do. The next man got to step up. You know, so if it's a couple guys coming from the practice squad or a couple guys that is getting more reps and, you know, in practicing for this upcoming game, you know, just the mentality and the standard is going to stay the same. So, you know, for me, just find an open guy and just keep pushing.
That's Deshaun Watson talking about what they need to do with the wide receiver position. Like three weeks ago, the depth chart was maybe the healthiest position that didn't include Deshaun Watson on the entire team.
Sean
Cooks.
There were too many. There were too many fast guys out there.
Right.
How are we going to get enough reps for Kenny Stills? I guess we'll just have to cut him.
Yeah.
Look at our embarrassment of riches. Oh, we've got so many wide receivers. Oh, what do we even do with it? Go ahead. I give you your freedom, Kenny. Just go. Be free. I want you to go out and explore all life has to offer. Oh. And now we're groveling. Kenny, come back, please. Yeah. I'm sorry, Kenny.
I'm glad you brought that up. Romeo Crennel was actually asked about that yesterday. Hey, have you thought about bringing Kenny Stills back?
Well, like I said, we'll look at every option that we have, and I'm not saying that we will not visit him, but I think he left here on good terms. Both sides were agreeable to the decision that was made and agreed to move on. And so, whether he comes back or not, that's something that we'll figure out. But if he does, he does. If he doesn't, he does.
Romeo, have y'all reached out to Stills yet to see if he's would consider that, or is that something that's down the road?
I have not spoken with him, so I cannot answer that.
Have they brought Kenny Stills back? Does that mean they have to pay him twice? Like, do they have to? They're already paying him the rest of his salary for this year. Is there an offset, or do they? That would be. You know,
I wonder if there's. Yeah, I guess the question would be: are there any bad feelings? Was it genuinely a mutual breakup or not? You know,
yeah,
it's kind of like it's like the moment of truth when you and your girlfriend break up and you agree to be friends. Like, oh, okay, but okay, so now that we're friends, how about I bring my new boyfriend along on our lunch date or something? You know,
right.
that's when you're friends. Or like, oh, do you want to come to my wedding? Like,
right.
Oh, okay, if you're that's that moment right now where we're kind of asking Kenny to come to our wedding. Like, I know we broke up and we're cool, right? So would you like to come to our wedding? Is Kenny going to be like, oh yeah, I'm totally fine with that? Or is he like, oh, I'm not ready for that yet?
Yeah, I don't know what the market is on Kenny Stills right now. I mean, when they cut him, he was damaged goods, right? I mean, he missed the last game with last two games with a quad injury. So I don't know. I haven't heard anything about Stills. Like, even if they signed him back this week, does he have to go through the COVID protocols? How's his quad injury? I mean, like, I think it's just, to me, Seth, it's more indicative of the desperation the Texans are at with that position right now than anything else. Than here's how Kenny Stills is going to help you. The Kenny Stills is a talking point in this whole thing goes to show you just how dire the situation is at that position right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd classify it as dire just because you are. I mean, gosh, you could have look at the Green Bay Packers and what they're able to do with that sorted allotment of guys that they have, you know, where every single year. Now, I say that they have Davante Adams, but Davante Adams, like, that's where, again, when it comes to paying. But that is where when it comes to paying Will Fuller, it's hard for me because I will look at what the Packers have been able to do without drafting anybody in the first round or spending huge money on free agency or anything. You know, and they unearth a Davante Adams at some point. You got to find out if one of these young guys can be your Davante Adams. You got to find out what you have in Isaiah Coulter. You have a Brandon Cooks and a Randall Cobb who are at the very least veteran wide receivers. Randall Cobb, who's been underutilized, perhaps now gets more opportunities without Will Fuller on the field. And I guess given the situation the Texans are in, I just don't feel like anything is dire. I feel like anything over these last several games is all just a big experiment to figure out what you have in any position group.
No, that's fair. You're right. Like, the overarching theme here is that they're 4-7. It's not as though that they're playing for anything other than the 1.5% chance to still make the postseason, as we bring up frequently on the show of optimism,
that's right.
Payne and Pendergast.
That's
so,
right.
But realistically,
right there, they're knocking on the door next year or next week. Maybe they're going to kick the sumbitch in.
If they were 7-4, then dire is probably a better word to use at that point. Let me ask you this: so we just got done talking in the previous segment that Will Fuller is still going to be a hot free agent name potentially. Pro Football Focus estimated that, hey, the Packers could be the team that goes and signs him. 5 years, $87 million, that's $18 million a year, blah, blah, blah. So let's pretend that that's the market for Fuller, that some team is willing to get stupid, and that the Texans are also at least thinking about getting into that market. You know, they're weighing their options here. Let me ask you this. Brandon Cook's cap hit is going to go up next year. He's on a very reasonable hit this year. His salary is only $8 million. The Rams have paid all the sunken cost on Cooks, his signing bonus and everything else. So he's under contract for a few more years, but it's fully non-guaranteed. Like, there's no dead money with Brandon Cooks. His salary, I think, goes up to like 12, 12, and 13 the next 3 years. Would you rather, because you can get out from Cooks with no dead money. You can get out free and clear. Would you rather just cut loose Brandon Cooks and bring back Will Fuller on that sort of $18 million market deal? Like, would you rather?
Yeah, I thought you were going somewhere else. I thought you were talking about, like, okay.
Would you rather have Brandon Cooks at $12 million but no Fuller, or Fuller at $18 million and no Cooks?
Well, I'll go you one further, because where I thought you were going was, and I think something that makes sense, would be to actually tweak Cooks' contract and give him some guaranteed money and stretch it out to where next year's cap hit isn't as much. And no, I don't want to pay Will Fuller that much money.
Yeah.
If it were a deal like that, 5 years, $18 million per year, he's with or without the PED suspension, he's been too banged up. Yeah. I think you got to get him. For the Texans to keep Will Fuller, it's got to account for his unreliability somehow. And I don't mean that as like a character judgment. It's completely and totally his physical unreliability. So I would rather, I feel pretty good about, like, the stat that we've cited before, nobody has played more games as a wide receiver since 2015 than Brandon Cooks. There were the concerns about his concussions that, so far, knock on wood, haven't been an issue. And I know that at least one of those last year, there are rumors that perhaps it was misdiagnosed or overly cautious, whatever. I feel pretty good about keeping Cooks around for a while. I know, I know there's the whole Easterby connection and everything, and that's kind of annoying, but I think he brings something valuable to the team, and I think he's reliable and is something that gives you some kind of substance and reliability and dependability going into next year.
He's taken some big hits this year, too, and he's popped up from them. You know, he's taken a couple hits where either
– He's a muscular dude.
He is. He's stocky.
I never realized just how stout he was. Yeah. Not just muscular, but thick, you know? Every time he gets up in the Zoom meeting, I kind of like – I work out afterwards a lot. It's like me following The Rock and James Harrison on Instagram.
You get into the gym?
I blame those guys for my hernia, by the way. Like, they do stupid stuff, especially James Harrison. He's doing stuff that no 40-year-old guy should be doing. But and then I try to do it. So, yeah.
How are you feeling, by the way?
Oh, after my hernia surgery?
Yeah, it's been a week or so, right?
I feel pretty good.
Do you?
Yeah.
Good.
The soreness goes down with every day. I got the robotic hernia surgery.
What is
which,
that?
Which they use a robot. You know, I was talking smack to the doctor before I went
kinky.
Under. I was like, you're not even doing this. Good luck pressing the button and letting the robot do the job for you,
no
buddy.
No kidding, yeah.
Before he went delicately to work on both my testicle areas.
Yeah. A little too much information. So you got the robot. So you're feeling good.
I feel good. These last couple of days, I've felt more like myself. It took me a while to come out of the anesthesia, which shocked me. That would be my word of warning to anybody. It's a certain percentage of people, it can take a week or more for you to really clear all the anesthesia.
Right.
And I kind of felt like I was floating through space talking to you for a few days.
Right. You would advise people to take it easy. You, on the other hand, went and did a couple of days of radio within 24 hours after getting the surgery and possibly still being under the anesthesia while you were on the air.
Yeah. Don't do drugs, kids. And it was, but I guess that's why I was able to do it, because the first couple of days it was no big deal. I felt fine. And then all of a sudden, after I got off the air on Friday, I was just wiped out. I was a mess. I was on the couch for like 2 days. Thank God it was the Thursday game for the Texans this week, because I took like 8 naps a day on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, you were fine on the air the whole time, but I could tell by Friday, like when you and I, you know, when we're chatting during the breaks and stuff like that, I could tell you were kind of leaking oil a little bit on Friday. I was happy for you. I was happy for you that you got to, at 10:01 a.m., get to the couch as fast as you could.
I was sitting on my bed at home,
and
I was trying to, like, it started off the week. I was all primed and ready to go. I was staring right into the camera. By Friday, I had my laptop up like 10 feet away from my bed, and I was sitting there just kind of propped up in bed like I was in an old folks' home or something.
Yeah, I could barely see you. It was like doing the show with an action figure. Like, there he is. He's all the way across. I think he has eyes. I don't know.
That's the other thing that I've learned from years and years of having surgeries. I don't even try anymore. I always used to have these plans. I was like, wow, I'm going to read like 10 books while I'm laid up for a week. I put that crap to bed a long time ago. You can't function. You're not actually thinking straight.
Did you binge watch anything?
I think I had already finished the Queen's Gambit.
We finished it this weekend.
I'll tell you what, Sean. I've actually tried to type this out a few times, but it sounds like I'm trying way too hard to be woke when you see it in written form.
Yeah.
So this was a – trust me, everybody. I'm saying this with a smile on my face, and yet at the same time, I couldn't help but notice it. You watch The Queen's Gambit. For those of you who don't know, it's a fictional tale. A lot of people wonder if it's based in reality. It's not. It's based on a novel from the 1980s, but it's a fictional tale about a young woman in the 1950s who excels at chess. She's a chess prodigy. She goes on to take on all the great male champions of the world. And that's all. I don't want to give you any spoilers or anything. But it's funny. There's one male character in it who's kind of a scoundrel, her adopted father. He doesn't abuse anybody or anything. He's not, like, she's not under threat, but he's just kind of a dirtbag,
right? He's just not into being a husband or a father.
Right. So I say scoundrel, but it's not like he was, you know, a sexual predator or anything like that.
Right.
I'm watching this movie, and, like, Sean, or this miniseries, I'm astounded at the incredible propaganda this was for white men. Because every step along the way, so of course my review is a 10 out of 10. Every step along the way.
It spoke to you. You know, the Queen's Gambit really spoke to me.
There's every step along the way where this young, very attractive woman is put into these situations where they're completely male dominated. You're just like waiting for the moment where like, oh, here it comes. Oh, boy. Here comes the scumbag that's either going to hit on her or going to. And it's the exact opposite. Like, at every moment where you're just expecting, like, oh, boy, here's where this guy turns into a dirtbag. It's the exact opposite. They're like, couldn't be more gentlemanly. They, like, they nurture her and help her along. They think it's awesome that a woman is doing all these things. In the 1950s, mind you, in early 60s, not late 1950s, early 1960s, or is it late 60s, early 70s, whatever it is, height of the Cold War. So that part was kind of weird for me, and I'm surprised that like more people, I thought that the woke brigade would have caught on to that and like universally said that this is a horrible miniseries because of that. But at least from what I've seen, they haven't. So it's so like I said, honestly, without joking, it is a really, really good series. With or without the propaganda for my kind.
Have you seen the effect on the popularity of the game of chess from this series?
Is it taking off? Yeah.
Okay, real quick, and then we got to get to headlines, but real quick. To date, 62 million households have watched The Queen's Gambit. That's a ton. And it's a Netflix series, so you can binge the whole thing in a day. It's only 7 episodes. Inquiries for chess sets are up 250% on eBay. Google search queries for how to play chess has hit an all-time high in 9 years. The original novel, The Queen's Gambit, is now a New York Times bestseller 37 years after its release.
Wow.
And the number of new players on chess.com has increased fivefold since the series debuted. Yeah, debuted October 23rd.
Yeah, and then take that. The Gen Z doesn't have an attention span.
That's
at least
right.
Those people going to the chessboard do.
Yeah.
I'm a horrible chess player. I can't.
I want to learn how to play. I've never really sat down and learned how to play. Deshaun Watson enjoys chess.
Yeah, yeah. You'd like it, I think. I enjoy it. I'm just awful at it. Like, so I don't do it because this is the problem. Sometimes you watch and read. Anytime anything is about math or about chess, it's about a prodigy. So I think there's a tendency, this is why some kids get more discouraged about math than they should. There's this tendency to think you either have it or you don't. So, like, I think people get lulled into this fictional tale of, like, oh, I'm going to sit down and maybe I'm a prodigy and I'll just start knocking fools down left or right because I see the board differently. And, like, same thing with math, right? Like, you see math whizzes do it. And people think that you either have it or you don't. Where you don't just have it with chess necessarily. You got to just take your time and play on the novice level and everything.
Yeah, I found Beth to be very relatable. Not so much her chess prodigy, but the fact that she really did like a cold drink very, very frequently. And she liked her pills. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. You know what I didn't like about it? Never mind. No spoiler alerts.
Okay. No spoiler alerts. All right, you guys got to watch Queen's Gambit. And you can watch it again. You can watch it in a day. All right, let's do some headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
The big headline today is Rockets related. The Rockets trading Russell Westbrook. He was here for a year. It was almost like you blink and he's gone. Was it even real that Russell Westbrook was here? It was like a dream. Now the new dream is John Wall. They trade him to the Washington Wizards for John Wall and a 2023 first round pick that is lottery protected. We won't go into all the protections on that pick. So, suffice to say that if the Washington Wizards are bad from 2023 through 2026, it's the Rockets may never see that pick. It turns into 2 seconds come 2026. So anyways, the bottom line is, though, in the short term here is you now have, Seth, assuming James Harden is still here when the season starts, and the Rockets, by the way, reports are no intention of trading James Harden right now. They intend on keeping James Harden, and that's good. They should dig their heels in. They should do what's best for the Rockets. Their starting five right now, I guess, would be Boogie Cousins and Christian Wood as their two bigs. And then you got James Harden, John Wall, and I'm guessing Daniel House. And then the bench would be P.J. Tucker and Eric Gordon coming off the bench. I don't know, maybe Tucker is starting as sort of a, you know, kind of a, you know, corner shooting three, Swiss Army knife on defense. I don't know. But that right now is their seven-man rotation. It's an old seven-man rotation. There's a lot of age in that group, but there's also a lot of guys who can put the ball in the basket. I'm intrigued right now. I'm intrigued. I don't know how good they're going to be, but it's interesting, at least.
I am intrigued. Look, I feel like people are too excited by the name DeMarcus Cousins just because, and this is not an anti-DeMarcus Cousins take whatsoever, it's the fact that DeMarcus Cousins is a 30-year-old big man who's had multiple major injuries to his lower body. And it's, and one of them being an Achilles tendon tear, you know, and he went and he played 30 games with Golden State 2 years ago before he had his major injury again. I just, in limited time, yes, maybe that's, you know what, maybe that's where I got to back off a little bit. If DeMarcus is going to get 15 minutes a night, maybe it doesn't matter and he's a nice change up and he gives Christian Wood a break. I just hope that it's not, I hope they're not overly depending on DeMarcus Cousins being anything close to what he was physically 3 years ago. So I'll back off a little bit on that. I don't want to be a hater before the season even begins. And then with the rest of it, if Harden does come back and he's engaged and he's playing, this is the third time we've been through this, right? Where I see the same damn talking points about, well, what are you going to do when a ball-dominant guy pairs up with another ball-dominant guy? And like, we've been through this enough times that I don't need to have the conversation again. What I know is that, you know what, it can work. The biggest issue with Russell Westbrook wasn't necessarily his pairing with James Harden. It was the fact that he couldn't work with a conventional center on the floor. That was the big issue. So I'm fine with the John Wall stuff. I'm very uneasy about the James Harden situation and how this is all going to play out, especially where if the Lockers would have kind of soft core culture issues already, even when James Harden wanted to be here, what's it going to look like if he feels like he's being held against his will?
Yeah, the Rockets, James Harden, you know, we'll see if he ends up talking about his situation. Russell Westbrook never had to. They traded him before he showed up at camp and had to sort of answer to what he was looking for the Rockets to do. He gets moved now to Washington. I think the Bradley Beal Russell Westbrook pairing is going to be a little wonky, but interesting to watch as well from afar. Seth, I think if you were to ask NBA people, hey, name the three worst contracts in the league right now. Who are the three worst contracts in the league? I think a lot of people would say Chris, in no specific order, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, and John Wall. Yeah. The Rockets have had all three of those contracts on the books, and they've all been traded for each other within the last 15 months.
Hey, look, checker for a checker, right? So this is the intriguing part. Scottie Brooks was the coach in Washington. He previously had been with Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
A lot of times people would criticize Scottie Brooks for being too simplistic, not doing enough to take advantage of all that he had there in Oklahoma City. When he got to Washington and he was working with John Wall, I read a couple of articles, I think Zach Lowe had one, where they were low-key throwing shade at Russell Westbrook, where Scottie Brooks was very delicately and nicely trying to say, hey, now with John Wall, I can actually do a lot of the stuff that I wanted to do in Oklahoma City, but that Russell Westbrook just chafed against and wouldn't accept. Yeah. So people love John Wall's basketball IQ. Very, very smart player. And I think that maybe in matching up with James Harden, maybe he figures out a different method, a different MO, and a different way to do things that can be above and beyond what we might expect. The other big consideration and question is the Achilles tendon tear, which in basketball is a whole lot different than in football. The There's just a long list of basketball players who were never quite the same after coming back from Achilles tendon tears. That's what you have to worry about. And so somebody asked me earlier, how come nobody's worried about it with Kevin Durant? And I feel bad about it. I sent him 5 articles about people questioning how good Kevin Durant will be when he comes back.
You sent 5 articles to one texter?
Yeah. Well, he did the old, nobody's talking about. I don't know. Here's 5 major publications that are talking about
that. That is death. With Seth's pain, you don't do 2 things. You don't say nobody's talking about when everybody's talking about it, and you don't start your text with, you do know that. The worst could be, you do know that everybody's talking about Kevin Durant.
Well,
you combine them both.
You know what I've discovered, and this listener said this. Well, a lot of times when people say nobody's talking about, what they mean is like Stephen A. Smith isn't talking about this.
Right.
Skip Bayless isn't talking about this. Yeah, which also annoys me. You know what happens I see a lot, Sean? People lump in Skip Bayless with sports radio. They'll be like, oh, all the sports radio morons are saying this or that. And then I'll be like, well, which ones? Like, you know, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith. Like, well, were you actually listening to Stephen A. Smith's radio show? No, I saw it on ESPN. Like, all right, these are not sports radio shows.
You're watching it on television. It's not on the radio. So, you know, you're absolutely right. You know what I was thinking, Seth, is that, you know, kind of similar to O'Brien, you know, sort of getting together a receiving corps and an offensive skill group where, hey, if they had their best seasons, this would be an amazing group. Like, O'Brien always felt like he was trading for David Johnson in 2016, Randall Cobb in 2014, Brandon Cooks in 2017. Wow, if you get those years. I was thinking about this after the trade last night for John Wall. Like, this would have been a kick-ass big three in 2017. Can you imagine a big three of Harden, Wall, and Boogie Cousins back in 2017 when Wall and Cousins were both considered at all NBA? You know, they were considered 2 of the top 15 to 20 players in the league at that point.
Yeah, it's funny, Sean. And that's true, and it's very enticing. But it's also funny because basketball has become so much, you know, mathketball. It's become so nerdy, and the advanced stats are such a big part of it. And the writers have all kind of just latched onto that. They love it, too. It's funny to me that it's, in some ways, it's even nerdier now. Like, the basketball writers are nerdier than baseball writers even now. They're so into the analytics. And yet, at the same time, they are, like, the hugest jock sniffers. Like, they just fall in love, like, almost on a creepy level with the players. So that they fall for this. Just like when all the Celtics went to the Nets, when Steve Nash and all the other olds went to the Lakers. Whenever any big old names get together, they just can't help themselves. They get super excited about it. And likewise, I feel like there's a little bit of I saw a certain level of excitement about DeMarcus Cousins coming here that didn't make any sense at all, other than that just they are the biggest jock sniffers in sports.
They are. Next headline, the Houston Texans are back at practice. They're getting ready for the Indianapolis Colts. J.J. Watt met with the media yesterday. He was asked for his reaction to the Fuller and Roby suspensions. Here's what he had to say.
It's obviously unfortunate for our team. We, 2 of our better players on the team, obviously. And so it's unfortunate.
Looking for perhaps more of a reaction to that news, J.J. Watt was asked a follow-up question by Aaron Wilson of the Chronicle.
As Romeo was saying earlier, everybody's responsible for what they put into their bodies, and the policies and everything are pretty clearly explained and you know, reiterated. As a teammate, just as an NFL player, what's your standing on kind of just guys following the policies and avoiding this kind of thing?
I'm not going to get into all that.
Yeah, as someone who is thirsty for content all the time, I was very disappointed in JJ's performance yesterday. So I couldn't have been more disappointed.
This stuff, the PED stuff, now unlike in baseball when it had just gotten to be such a boiling point, in baseball before there was testing, there were a lot of players that felt like, well, I've got to do it if I want to make it in this league because so many guys are doing it. And there were guys that were dead set against it and didn't like it that it was that way. There were other guys that didn't like it was that way, but they felt like they had to do it. You saw more players start to weigh in baseball. In football, I think for the most part, nobody really feels like, wow, like I have to do it because everybody else is doing it. I think some guys feel like they have to do it because they got to stay healthy or whatever. Because of that, I don't think you're going to find many players that are going to be overly judgmental about it. There's kind of a culture of just, you know what, guys are going to do what they're going to do, and it's not for me, but, you know, I'm not going to get up in anybody's business. So when they're asked about it publicly, it's the same as asking somebody about another player's contract situation.
Yeah.
They just don't want to get up in their business about it.
Makes sense. The other news with the Texans, Seth, are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
David Johnson's 21-day window to come back from his concussion was officially opened yesterday, baby. The time is now where David Johnson is in the window to where he could be reactivated at any time and become the Texans' feature excellent three-down back once again, where he can just rain down 3 yards a carry on us every Sunday. Love that.
He plays Maury Ball. Nothing but threes and at the rim, you know,
all
at
threes,
the line of scrimmage.
Right.
All threes and at the line.
That's right.
That would be the foul throw. Okay, it's all threes at the line, which would be the foul shooting.
Yep.
Or I guess whatever for the 2 yard loss, which is really the offensive line's fault. Those are his layups.
Yeah. David Johnson could be back. Could be back. How excited are you about that, Seth?
That's the instead of the 7 seconds or less offense, we have the 3 yards or less offense.
The 3 yards or less, yeah.
They 3 yards and not enough dust really generated by the velocity. Yeah.
Well, it's because they don't play on a field with dirt. It's 3 yards and a bunch of those little vulcanized rubber pellets is what it is.
Yeah.
And field turf. All right, so David Johnson. Corey Legit, by the way, also brought up to the active roster. Every week he's on the press release about transactions that Corey Legit's getting called up from the practice squad, and yet I feel like he's played like 2 or 3 games for the. Does he just yo-yo back and forth? Do they send him back down and bring him back up every week? I don't know how that works.
It's one of these little things that I've kind of just I haven't really sat down to figure any of this stuff out too much, other than that I've noticed because of the relaxed practice squad rules this year. There's just way more roster shuffling going on with all of these teams.
It's too much, I tell you. It's too much.
I don't think too hard about it. No. Too legit to quit. That's
thank you.
How I remember his name. Too legit. Too legit to quit. Too legit. For kids that don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about great American musical artist MC Hammer,
right,
who achieved greatness and was a huge fan of the Atlanta Falcons as well. Actually had a music video where I think Jamal Anderson was in his music video for Too Legit to Quit.
He was a former bat boy for the Oakland A's back in the day, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Jamal Anderson?
No, MC Hammer.
Okay,
MC Hammer. All right, let's. That's headlines.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.